Scripture reading this morning will be from Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4. So let's open now to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll begin reading with verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but that's by the treachery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. And now, 1 Peter chapter 4, and also beginning with verse 7. Here are passages that not only speaking of the same general topic, but even beginning with the same verses. So remember Ephesians chapter 4 beginning with verse 7 and 1 Peter chapter 4 beginning with verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, we see here in these portions God's gift to believers and the very purpose. So, I suppose it will give the topic, instead of the spiritual gifts, which normally we would be dealing with in section, I'd like to refer to that as a channel of blessing. For that's the purpose of these gifts to believers, that through us God may work to glorify the Lord Jesus and to minister to others, to make us a channel of blessing. Now, you know what a channel is? Well, a channel is that area through which something may flow. We usually think of a channel filled with water. Well, if you've ever been to Houston, Texas, you'll know something about a channel. We refer to it as the ship channel. Can you imagine that almost from downtown, well, it's in within far within the city limits, and not too far from downtown Houston, you'll find a ship channel going all the way from the Gulf of Mexico up through Galveston Bay and through the ship channel to downtown Houston. These huge ocean-going vessels from various parts of the world can come right downtown to Houston. As you go over one of the tall bridges on Luke 6:10, if you look out over your right, you'll see these huge ships from Japan unloading automobiles, and there will be acres of land out there filled with automobiles. So that ship channel, all along, it has had some granaries, rice granaries, and it's got all kinds of chemical plants and refineries. So it's a very useful channel. Through it passes great things. Now, we talk about a channel. It seems that this would refer to believers also, through whom God may work, that we might minister to and be a blessing to others. So as we're going to look into the subject this morning, remember, we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, as we've been singing about in our hymns. The gifts of the Spirit that God has given to every believer, that He might, through us, reach out to meet the needs of others. So, let's consider every believer as a channel of blessing. That will depend upon how much we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We see in all these scriptures that we've read this morning the spiritual gifts which God has provided that we may glorify Him and be a channel of blessing to others. As we read there in 1 Peter, let's look at verse 10 there in chapter 4. Each one has received a gift. That's every believer, it tells us. There's no believer without a gift from the Holy Spirit. Each one has received a gift. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. So, this passage is very clear, isn't it? It tells us that each one, each believer, has received gifts. Now, there are four portions of Scripture that deal specifically and definitely with these various gifts. Now, they're quite easy to remember. Now remember, the first one you'll find in the 12th chapter of Romans. Actually, we'll be dealing with verses 6 through 8 today with some of these gifts. Romans chapter 12. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, that makes it easy to remember, doesn't it? So, we can view those with the idea and purpose of determining the gifts that God has distributed that the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ may realize that He has supplied the gift and the ability to so function as to bring glory and honor unto Him. Now, one of the problems with the churches today, and so many, even among the evangelical churches, the problem is you don't see much talk on the subject of spiritual gifts or the exercise of all these gifts. And the reason is most of them have one man they refer to as our pastor. And they look to him to be the possessor and administrator of all the gifts. Unto him, it seems that he bears all the responsibility that should be distributed to the members of the church as God has foreordained and planned and gifted. Has he just gifted one man? This is one of the things that would seem to trouble me if dealing with one man who refuses to allow others in the assembly or in the congregation to be used. Some of these men don't like any competition. So we cannot look to one man as having all of these spiritual gifts. We'll be talking a little more about the body in a few minutes. What if just one member of our body functions? Well, now, of course, in Christendom today, I heard of a preacher who described the situation like this in Christendom today. They described it like, I suppose, an NFL game, a football game, where it says there are 50,000 people in the stands. 50,000 people who are spectators of this game that's going on. And there are 22 men down on the field, very active. And he said, here there are 50,000 people in the stands that needed exercise and activity, and 22 people down on the field needed lots of rest and time out. In other words, of all of that, just a few are busy. The rest of them are spectators. Now, they describe that as a good deal that's going on in the churches today. So many people are spectators, and only a few are active. I know of some churches, as a matter of fact, I know of one almost 50 years ago now, where that they had the name out on the front of the building as the minister of that church, Harold Preston. One minister. How many churches have that? A minister is one who serves. Just have one person out of a whole congregation who serves? Well, is that in agreement with the scriptures? I think not. So, if Christians do not exercise their gifts, they're both disobeying God's word and are depriving others of blessings to which they may administer to them. For the believer who is gifted is designed to be a blessing to others. So it is spiritual gifts that make the believer a channel of blessing. Now, A spiritual gift is a divinely bestowed ability for Christian service to every member of the body of Christ. A gift from God. That's something free, isn't it? Yes. A gift. It is free. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. It is God's desire and design that we might be vessels used for His glory and honor. Do we ever stop and to pause and think about it? Well, am I really that vessel? Am I really that channel? Now, the spiritual gifts, let's not confuse them with talents. Because talents, we might say that that is also a gift from God for all of mankind. Various people have various talents, don't they? Well, we like to think of the musicians, for example. We all like music. And it's all amazing how that we can hear this music that is pleasant to the ear. And sometimes it's very interesting. I remember shortly after we arrived in the Philippines, my co-worker and I went down to the island of Leyte for some meetings in the house where we stayed. That night, before I could go to sleep, I heard a beautiful guitar or ukulele sound outside the window and singing. I thought, what is that? What it was, one of the young ladies, college-age young lady, had come back from Manila where she had been up there in the university, had come back home. And this boy, this young fellow in the community that heard she was back, he's out there playing and singing to her. And I didn't know what that was all about, but it went on until midnight. So, you talk about talents and gifts. Yes, he had a talent for good music. And he was using that talent in a special way, wasn't it? But there are various talents that are natural to man. But that is not the same as the gift of the Spirit. Let's not confuse talents with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit provides spiritual gifts. We can say it is a gift from God. It would have to be a spiritual gift there. Now, there are various graces that proceed from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is through the Holy Spirit that the believer is able to live a godly life. He has the strength and the power from God to live a godly life for the glory of the Lord, and also to so function as God has given him and her the ability in order that they may glorify Him. Now, we talk about the graces, that's the charisma, incidentally, that's a word that appears quite often in these portions that we've read about the gifts from God. That's where the charismatic movement gets its name, you know, we refer to them. But in Galatians chapter 5, and beginning with verse 22, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit? That is that which is produced by the Holy Spirit in people, in believers. Let's look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So here we see these graces of the Spirit are Christ-like qualities developed in every believer's life. Aren't those beautiful fruits? People like to drive through orchards. Now, if you're driving through California, you're going to see lots of things like that. I was always fascinated to go through some of those areas, especially some of the vineyards, producing such a great amount of grapes and olives. They're beautiful. But the fruit of the Spirit are so beautiful because they have such a spiritual character. That is, they proceed from God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and so on, all of these things. That's not natural, is it? That is not designed for everyone. So you see, we don't confuse that with talents. Do we see these characteristics manifested in unbelievers? So then, that's what we would refer to as the definition of gifts. Spiritual and divinely bestowed ability for Christian service. Now, we have these four passages that I referred to as the distribution of these gifts. Now, we talk about these gifts, and all are distributed. Distributed by whom? Where did they come from? Are they natural? No. They come from the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, remember, we read there in verse 7, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. They're gifts from the Lord Jesus. So we can say truly that the Lord Jesus is the author and the distributor. Now, let's just look at a few more passages here. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read verses 4, 5, and 6, where Paul says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all." So who do we see here? We see the Trinity. We see the Godhead involved in these gifts. They're referred to as the gift of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, gifts from the Lord, and so on. So we see that by whom these gifts are given. Now, to whom are they given? To whom are these gifts given? Well, back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says, "But to each one of us grace was given." So to whom were they given? They're given to, Paul says, to us. We can say that they are given to the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So this makes it clear. It's just not some believers that receive gifts, but every believer, to each one, these gifts are given. So you see, it is not as God as though is just expecting one or two here and there to do this or to do that, but He has made it possible for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to be used as a channel of blessing, of reaching out to others and to glorify the Lord. And of course, you remember when we read back there in 1 Peter, in verse 10, Peter also says, as each one of us received a gift. As each one of us. He's referring to believers only. So all are gifted with a variety of gifts because the body has a variety of members. And we won't take time to go into detail, but Paul has a good deal to say about the body there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. About there's one body, but many members. Now, we can know that just from our own bodies, the various members that have a particular function. And I imagine this is one of the fascinating studies and knowledges from our brethren who are doctors, physicals, who know all the various members of the body and how they function and how essential they are and what happens when some of these members cease to function. It affects the rest of the body, doesn't it? It's not as though they're not important. Every member is important through which, in its function, it helps support the whole body. So, we know that these various members are gifted. And when some of these members fail to function, not only is it doesn't produce anything, it causes a lot of pain. You remember a year or so ago? I had a terrible time with that arm, day and night pain, because of one member back there that was being pinched. Therefore, it wasn't functioning properly. And it was even causing pain to the rest of the body. So, we've seen by whom these gifts are given and to whom. Now, the question is, when are these gifts given? Well, the Scripture doesn't come right out and say the gifts were given at this particular time, but we know from reading the Scriptures that these gifts are given at the new birth. You see, even a little child that's born into this world, he may be born with certain abilities. We see later on in life these talents developing, the talents that are encouraged by the parents and friends and relatives, and it's neat to observe how that when they discover these talents, they like to get involved and develop. But now, what should we say about the gifts? Well, we know that these gifts will be to the believers only. And no doubt they come with the new birth. And then they should be developed, exercised, and developed. So now that we might really be a channel of blessing, let's look at the purpose of these gifts. The purpose, to be a channel. But in what way? Okay, remember we read there in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. The manifestation of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit manifesting Himself through individuals for the profit of all, for the benefit or the blessing of all. Now, we realize that it is just not for our own good, just for our own benefit. Is that all of our purpose in life? Do we want everything to flow our way? I want it all for me. That's one of the problems of the old nature. Very selfish. I want everything to go my way. But remember, we want to be a channel of blessing, the love of God, let it flow through us. So for the profit of all, do we really look out for the good of others, for the benefit and for the blessing of others? Well, let's look again at the portion that we read a while ago in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul goes on to describe these gifts to gifted men, and he himself gave some. Notice, who's the originator? He, Christ. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Now, they were gifted men. What was the purpose for these gifts? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, that is service, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the saints, for the work of ministry. In other words, all, not just having one minister. When I go in front of these church buildings and see that bulletin board outside, so-and-so, sometimes Reverend so-and-so, or Dr. so-and-so, minister. The only one ministering inside? Is that what this scripture says? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, Paul also gives a description of these gifts in Romans chapter 12, and let's just take a look at that. Romans chapter 12, and let's look at some of these gifts that are described here. Well, let's begin reading with verse 4, Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. In other words, he's saying, there's a variety here. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Now, having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them. Now he begins to describe these gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So here he names a number of these gifts. Now, some people think that this is just something natural that people may obtain through education, various educational systems. These spiritual gifts do not come from any other source, remember, than from above, from the Holy Spirit. So now he would say, well, he mentions this gift of prophecy. Well, what is the gift of prophecy? Well, looking back at those examples in the scriptures, we can say that it is the capacity. The gift of prophecy is the capacity that is given for those whom God has chosen to speak forth His Word. That is, as it is revealed, we may refer to it as the revelation from God. For back in those early days, the prophets, he revealed truths that otherwise man would have never known. It was divine revelation. Prophetic. It all pointing out there to the future. Now, not all of prophesying is telling about the future. As some said, it's not only but foretelling. A lot of the prophets of old, they weren't always foretelling the future, but foretelling. That is telling the Word of God as it had been revealed. So it's not all prophecy, but here, even now, we have divine revelation, don't we? Through the Word. Where did we get that portion we studied this morning in our Bible class? In Revelation. Revelation? Yeah, it is. Now, there are those who seem to have a gift of unfolding these glorious truths. There are some men who seem to be specially blessed with insight into these prophetical issues. And that's nice. Now, there you notice that also not only the gift of prophecy, but our ministry. That is, ministry as a service. This term could be described as a service or a helper. This is the capacity to serve in practical ways to assist in the work of God. Now, the man who has this gift, we can describe him as a deacon. Because this word deacon has this idea of service, of ministry. And so we can say that those set apart as deacons have this gift of being able to work in practical ways to the glory of the Lord. And then, in verse 7, he goes on to say, He who teaches, that is the gift of teaching. This is the capacity to communicate clearly the truths and the applications of the Word of God so that others may learn and to profit by understanding the Scriptures. Isn't it wonderful? Those gifted in teaching, look back over your seed, some that seem to have a special gift in teaching, making clear the Word of God. What a blessing it is. We've all profited by that. Now, not only the teaching, but he who exhorts. Exhortation. So, this is the capacity, as someone has described it. The exhorter is one who has the capacity to comfort. He gives consolation and encouragement and counsel to others. There are those gifted in this. That is, it enables one believer to go alongside another believer and to minister spiritual help at the time of need. Now, we won't take time to go back into the Scriptures, but go back and look a bit about the life of Barnabas. See what Barnabas was gifted to do. So, this exhortation. Some have the ability, an extra ability, to sense the need of others who need encouragement and some counsel and comfort, especially in time of need. So he who exhorts with an exhortation, and he who gives with liberality. The gift of giving, some will say, well, I didn't know that anyone, I thought anyone could give. Well, they may. But it seems that there are some who have the gift of giving, that is the capacity to give of one's substance to the work of the Lord or to the people of God in a consistent manner. To give liberally and even sacrificially and with wisdom that others are encouraged and blessed. Well, I could give you some illustrations of those that I've known, both brothers and sisters in the Lord, who seem to have not only the resources, but the wisdom in distribution. I remember one time we came back from the Philippines. I mentioned about a dear brother on the island of Panay, whose parents and relatives lived up in the hills. And they, it was very difficult to get up there. And this young fellow was working full time. He was doing a good work now. All he had for transportation was a bicycle. And it was very difficult to get up to those areas with parents. And I asked him one time, I said, are there no roads going up there? And he said, well, most of the way there, if a Jeep could go up there, but it says most of the people that go up there ride a motorcycle if they have one. But he would love to go up there occasionally. His parents were unbelievers and his relatives, and he wanted to go up to minister. I want to get in touch with him again to see if he's led them to the Lord yet. But anyway, it was a difficult time. He didn't get to go up very often. Anyway, when we went back to the States, we were talking to a loved one, a dear sister in the Lord, was asking about all these things, and I mentioned some of the things. I mentioned this fellow. He said, a motorcycle is effective over there? I said, yes, it's very useful because some areas don't have good highways. She said, well, how much would one cost? I said, well, they could get a used one over there. There's a lot of Japanese motorcycles there in Manila. I said, they can get a new one for $2,000. I can get a used one up there, or one for $2,000. She said, how could I get one for him? We made arrangements for him to do that. Well, that's it. Knowing other things about that dear sister, she had the gift of giving. But think of what it meant for that fellow when he got that motorcycle. How he was more effective in reaching out. He got a sidecar to put on it so he could take his wife and little children with him to some of these areas. And he was more effective in reaching out faster to these areas, these people. So this gift of giving is very important. Now, notice it goes on to mention there the gift, the one who has this gift to do it with liberality, and he who leads with diligence. He who leads, he's talking about leadership. That there are those whom the Lord has given the gift of leadership. Some refer to this as administration or ruling. There are those who have this responsibility of oversight and ruling in the assembly. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, we read, obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch over your soul as those who must give an account. Give an account? Yes, because everyone is responsible or accountable for the gift. Not only the elders and deacons, but those who have the gift of exhortation, of giving, of teaching, and so on. We're all accountable to respond for that gift. And then one other, and we'll close with this one, right a part of verse 8 in Romans 12. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy,
with cheerfulness.
Showing mercy?
Yes.
That is the capacity to do the acts of mercy.
That is reaching out to render aid to those who are in need. And it may be to those who are undeserving. It doesn't mean that they have to be of a certain nature or character to receive something, but to reach out to those who are in need. It may be to the poor and the needy. But you see, in so doing, in showing mercy in various ways, we're administering the characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord Jesus do when he was here on earth? It seems like he was greatly occupied in teaching and preaching, ministering to the need of others, mercy, grace, reaching out to others. So he's in heaven now, but how can he work here on earth? Through those whom he has gifted to minister to the needs of others. So then, you see, all of these gifts we've been talking about, normally we take up a subject like this, the emphasis and the title is the gifts of the Spirit. But I want to change that a little bit to say that the topic is a channel of blessing. It is as a result of the gifts of the Spirit that are active in the believer's life. So I trust that we'll, if we haven't been thinking too much about this, we'll do a little research into our lives. And the question, Lord, am I using the gifts that you've given? Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, for these blessed instructions as to how the believer should so live and function as to bring glory and honor to our living God and Savior. We're thankful for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for the administration of the gifts by the Spirit of God. So we just ask, O Lord, that we might truly function and respond in such a way, yielding to the guidance and power of the Spirit, that we might honor the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives, through both members of the body of Christ, the members of the church, as well as reaching out to those around about us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. For trial, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So we read of the crown of life, crown of righteousness, all are given from God, for God. But let's remember too that there in Corinthians, he talks about those who will suffer loss. In 2 John and verse 8, John says, look to yourselves that you do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive full reward. So should we be conscious of and concerned about the reward? Well, if we're conscious about the accountability, we would surely love to receive rewards that would attend us for all eternity in the presence of the Lord and all the redeemed. So, this matter of accountability, I think, is a subject that has been greatly overlooked. That is, when we look at the testimony in many, many religious circles, where there's not that obedience to God's word. They seem like they're following man's order and departing from the word. What about the day of accountability for that? Well, when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 concerning those building on the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we can see what the test will be, and my, what reward and loss there will be as well. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are for your word that clearly gives us instruction how to live for and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be reminded that we have so great a responsibility inasmuch as we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in. O Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us not to be careless and indifferent, but rather committed, and seeing all that we can accomplish for you, realizing how it will affect others and how it might point them to the Lord Jesus, and how that they may be living for him and be rewarded for all eternity. So we just ask now that you'll bless this word to our hearts, that we might truly function according to your word, to the glory of our blessed Savior, who invested his life, who gave his all for our salvation, that we might live for God. In his blessed name, amen.